It's great to have everybody here.
Yeah.
Great to hear everybody catching up with one another over the week, and great also to have a number of people on Zoom today as well. So welcome to those that are joining us on Zoom. I'm deliberately stopping just for a minute, and it did work. We paused. And there's a good reason for that today, because we're going to be starting a new series. We're going to be exploring ideas about prayer. And today our focus is how we come into God's presence and pause, but more about that a little bit later. But it's quite good, isn't it, just to take a moment before we start worship, just to quieten our souls and pause and come into God's presence. So let's just do that for a minute, and then I'm going to ask Marion to pop a video clip on for us. So we're just going to pause, and then we'll play the clip.
We live in a world of busy, one that demands us to spend our time as well as our money. And time has become our gold, our most precious resource. We want to spend it well. A while ago, God challenged me to spend more of my time in His presence, to take time to pause, to pray. I started by creating time and space to be with God, first thing in the morning over a cup of coffee, and last thing in the evening, taking time to listen to His voice before bed. Our time is one of the most precious things we can offer to God. And no matter how little time we feel that we have, time in God's presence is never time wasted. So today, make space, grab a coffee, sacrifice time to pause in God's presence.
So Father God, we come before you now and we pause. We pause from the busy weeks that we've had. We might just pause from difficulties or disappointments that we've had this week. Just pause from all the busyness in our minds and the rushing around. We just come into your presence now. Help us to learn about what it means to come into your presence, that we might be prepared to listen to you this morning. Amen. So the video clip we just looked at is a bit of a taster of what we're going to be doing over the next month or so in our time of teaching, on our up sessions, and also when we celebrate. We're going to spend 4 weeks looking at various aspects of prayer. I thought it would be a really good thing to do, because it's a fundamental thing, isn't it, that we do as believers. We pray. Prayer is something that people do across the world. Millions of people every day pray. And when you look at some of the surveys of the UK population, many people might not go to church, but many people are praying. And I think that came through as I talked to people over the last couple of years. I don't know about you, but a number of people, particularly colleagues that I work with, talked about how they have been praying more than they'd ever been praying. Prayer is part of our culture, of human culture. Lots of different faiths pray. We pray. Prayer is important. Prayer for believers, for us as Christians, is about coming into God's presence. And it flows through the Bible, doesn't it? As we read the Old Testament into the New Testament, it's full of people praying. It starts right at the beginning with God and a man and a woman in a beautiful garden talking and having a conversation with one another that brings them all joy. As we read Jesus' life, he constantly prayed, didn't he, to his Father. He took time out to spend time with his Father. He prayed for others, and he prayed when he was weary and when he was distressed. And then as we move through into Acts, the church, the early church, it's full of stories of answered prayer And you get a real sense of prayer really changing people and transforming the lives of people as they prayed. So I think it's a really good topic, isn't it, for us to be thinking about over the next couple of months, how we pray, but also how we do it together as a church. For some of us, we might have been doing it for years and years, but there's always new things that we can learn. And for some of us, it might be quite a new experience. I know I've been involved in the Alpha group that I know a lot of you have been praying for over the last month or two. Prayer is something that the group are really fascinated about. And one of them said recently, how do you pray? It's an interesting question, isn't it? I don't know how to do it. How do you do it? And it really made me think, how do we pray? What are we doing when we pray? So hopefully, as we move through the next month or two and we look at different aspects of prayer, we'll get a feel for that. Even if we've been doing this for years and years, we'll pick up some new things that expand and open prayer for us. And if it's a newer thing, and you're listening to this later, some of the Alpha group on the recording on the church website, I'm hoping that this might be helpful for you as well. But prayer can also be challenging, can't it? It can also be difficult. I don't know how you're feeling about your prayer life at the moment, whether you're feeling, yeah, it's going okay and it's okay, or whether you're struggling to find the space, find the words to pray. And even Jesus' friends, his disciples, needed to find out how to do this. They asked Jesus, didn't they? Teach us how to pray, they said. Show us how to do it. So we're really in good company as we start this series, looking at something that might be very familiar to some and new for others. And we're going to use a resource that you might be interested to know about. Could pop this up on the slide for Marion. Some of you will know of a guy called Pete Gregg. He's the founder of the 24/7 prayer movement, which has made a really big impact on the British church over the last few years. And he's written some really good books on prayer. So we're going to be using this one through the series. And some of you I know might like to follow the series. Totally up to you. But if you're interested and want to go a little bit deeper as we're looking about prayer, we're going to be using this book as our structure. And it's called How to Pray, a simple guide for normal people. So I reckon that's us. And that will be really helpful as we start to pray. And Pete recommends looking at prayer using four different sort of ways to approach it. So if you pop the slide on again, Mariam. And so this is what we're going to look at over the four gatherings that we're together. We're going to be thinking about what it means to pause. So I'm going to be doing that today. We're going to spend some time considering what it might mean to rejoice, and Jill's going to take us through that. We're going to spend a Sunday thinking about what it means to ask and how we ask God. And then finally, Chris is going to take us through a Sunday just looking at what it means to yield, to say yes to God in our lives. So they're the sort of four aspects of what we're going to follow: pause, rejoice, ask, and yield. But we're going to start right at the beginning of the series. We're going to use, which is going to be running all through the background of this, we're going to use the Lord's Prayer to help us explore some of these aspects of prayer. And this morning, I wanted to try and introduce a few creative ways to help us look at this passage in a different way, because sometimes we can hear the scripture read and it's so familiar to us that we don't really get under it. And we don't really hear something in a fresh way. So we're going to do various things this morning that are going to help us to practice the idea of pausing. But also, hopefully, I'm hoping, will also help us to explore the Lord's Prayer in a fresh way. So we're going to hear the Lord's Prayer read from Matthew 6. And Hilary's going to come and read that to us. And we're going to read it from the Message and hear it, hopefully, in a fresh way.
So if you listen carefully, I think you will, like me, be very challenged by the words. When you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat? Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. This is the bit that challenged me. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you are dealing with, and he knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply, like this. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Do what's best as above, so below. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. You're ablaze in beauty. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would inhabit our prayers, both at home or wherever we're praying, both here as we gather as your people. Holy Spirit, live in our prayers, we pray. Amen.
The Lord's Prayer is something that is very deep and very beautiful. I think the Archbishop of Canterbury said it can be learnt easily by children, and yet it's one of the most profoundest prayers that we can ever pray. So we don't say the Lord's Prayer lightly, because it's a prayer that changes us, and it changes the world that we are in and the people around us. So we're actually going to say the Lord's Prayer together now. After just listening to the version from the Message, we're going to read it in a more traditional way together, and the words are up on the screen. I've lifted them out of the NIV, because I know we sometimes say them in a different way depending on the tradition that we come from, but we're going to read the NIV version this morning together. And what I've done is I've just put a Selah moment in. Now, I think you've talked about Selah moments before, haven't you? I know Chris Justice is something that he finds really helpful. And some of you will know what these are already. But Selah moments, you find them in the Psalms. And I also came across some in Habakkuk this week when I was studying Habakkuk, which I found quite interesting. I wasn't expecting to find a Selah moment in the prophets, but they're there as well. And the idea is that you just pause and you ask God to do something with the words, to open up your mind and to encounter him in a fresh way. So this is one of the first practices that we're going to try during the service that you might find helpful. You can use this at home as well. And I thought we could try this as we read the Lord's Prayer. So we're going to read this together, and we're going to have a moment of pause, and then I will lead us into the next sentence, and then we'll pray the next sentence. So let's start by praying the Lord's Prayer together. Are you ready? Let's just take a moment. Here we go. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. When I was preparing for today, thinking about pausing, I found it really challenging, because I don't know about you, I'm a busy person. I have lots to do, and I know lots of us are like that. We have busy lives that are filled with doing and being with people, and all these things are good, aren't they? They're good. But sometimes it can be really hard to stop. So often, I rush into God's presence, and I just start talking. I don't know about you. Coming before him, telling him about my day, what I'm worried about and anxious. And that's not wrong. But I do wonder whether sometimes the Lord just says to us, whoa, just stop. Just come and sit with me. Just pause. And the amazing thing is that when we start to do that, the Lord says, I will be with you, I will speak with you. Because God loves us coming into his presence. And as we do that, something amazing starts to happen. Those things that are our agenda, our busyness, our requests, our ideas, they don't go away, but we start to see them in a different way, from a different perspective. And that's why pausing is so important. As I was preparing, I was thinking about what it's like when we prepare to spend time with a really special friend or a special family member or family. It might be your grandchildren coming that you're really looking forward to seeing, or a friend that you've not seen for a long time. How do we get ready for those moments? I don't know about you, but often I would prioritise that. I might plan for it and organise myself during the week. I'll put some time aside. I'll get the house ready to greet them and welcome them. I might turn off my phone so there's no distractions. That time is precious, it's special, and we prioritise it, don't we? We make time and we prepare for those special moments when we're with people that we love and care for. And it made me think about, do I do that when I come into the presence of God? Am I ready to come into the courts of the King? The Old Testament is full of this wonderful vision of heaven being like God's court with all the angels surrounding God. If I was called to go and visit the Queen, would I prepare myself and be ready? I don't know about you, would you do that? I think I would. And there's this sense of pausing being about us getting ready to come into the presence of someone precious and special that we're going to prioritise time for, but someone who is wonderful. A story that that Christians often look at this time of the year is the Road to Emmaus. And some of you might have read that this week. The story of two friends of Jesus walking towards Emmaus and then suddenly joined by a third person who walks with them. And at that point, they have no idea that Jesus is journeying with them. And the conversation, it's all full about what's happened and how they've experienced what's gone on in Jerusalem and what are they going to do. And there's problems and it's going to be difficult and then they invite this person to come in and have a meal with them. And the person sits with them and they suddenly turn their attention to him and they realize that it's Jesus that's been with them and walking with them. Their eyes were open. And I think that's a lovely, lovely picture of pausing and what it means to come into the presence of the Lord Jesus. The psalmist says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And if we want to be better at hearing the one who so often comes to us in silence and a still, small voice, then we need to practice times when we pause and when we are silent before him. John Wesley called this practice watchfulness, and I quite like that idea. It's not a passive thing. It's not just sitting and turning your mind off. It's actively switching on or listening to God in that stillness, watchfulness. I think that's a really helpful word to help us understand what this is about. And when we do that, something profound happens. We start to see God. We start to see Jesus, just like the friends on the road to Emmaus. And all the things that are important to us, they are important, but we start to see them in a very different way. God's presence is there. God, who is far greater than ourselves. And it starts to change everything. One of the pictures that Pete Gregg uses in his book that I found it really helpful when I was preparing was he describes prayer a bit like going for a wonderful walk up a mountain. So it involves a bit of effort and perseverance, but there's a goal at the top, to come into the presence of God or to be with God. And he says that prayer can be a bit like that. Sometimes we just need to go straight up the straight path, quickly up to the top, because we need to come into the presence of God. But sometimes that journey can be very different. We can take the smaller tracks, the secret tracks, some of the overgrown tracks. We can explore places that we've never been to before. And as we make our way up the hill, we begin to discover new things, new experiences. Because prayer doesn't have to be one set thing, one set path. It can be lots of paths, and no path is better than another. But it is good that we try different ways of coming into the presence of God. And these different paths can form different ways of praying, and we're going to be looking at some of these over the next few weeks. There's adoration. That's a bit about what we're talking about today. There's confession, asking for help. There's asking for others. There's contemplation, and there's also spiritual warfare. And we're going to be looking at some of these as we consider what it means to pause, rejoice, ask, and yield. But the thing about that journey is just that we're joined with a walking companion, just like it was on Emmaus. God himself walks with us as we pray. So we're just going to stop for a minute, just to give you a chance to sort of process a few things. And sometimes it's helpful for some people to talk about things as they're learning. So we're going to just pause around our tables for a minute. And I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to think about this question just for a few moments. I'll pop it on, Marion, it should be on the slide. If you want to and you feel able to, just share what prayer is like for you at the moment. Are you finding it easy? Are you finding it difficult? Because sometimes prayer is difficult, and it's good to share that as well. And also, if there's anything that helps you pray, things that you find useful that help you pray. So find a few people, gather around, turn if you need to, and just have a few moments talking about this, and also on Zoom as well if you'd like to do that. I'll move on and just share with you a few thoughts that you might find helpful that Pete Gregg has talked about, and I've added a few bits in as well. So these are a few things that you might find helpful. I'm hoping that each one of us will listen to one thing today and think, oh, that's interesting, I might like to try that, or I'm going to have a go at doing something a bit differently, just to bring a freshness again into pausing and your prayer life. So the first thing that I think is important is being intentional, and someone's already spoken about the importance. I think this is where probably a rhythm comes in, and making a decision, a sort of having a discipline to it. Pete Gregg says prayer should be, keep it simple, keep it real, and keep it up. And I think that's just a really helpful encouragement for us. Keep it simple, keep it real, and keep it up. So we need to make a decision, we have to decide for ourselves that this is important for us, that it's important for our relationship with God, and it needs to be prioritised, and we've got to give space to do that. And that can be really challenging, depending on what stage of life you're at as well. There's kind of almost a bit of a steely determination. We're going to do this because it's important. One of the stories that I've heard of before, but it was good to be reminded of it again. Do you know the story of Susanna Wesley? Charles, yeah, that's right. John and Charles Wesley's mum, who many of you know, set up one of the amazing sort of denomination and reform and change several hundred years ago. And she had 10 children, believe it or not, and she ran a busy household. She was pretty much on her own most of the time. And she had a difficult life. She had quite a lot of challenges that she needed to face. But every day, there's that discipline. She'd sit down and she'd pull her apron over her head. And that was her moment of pause. And her children knew not to disturb her. And she prayed. And she prayed for them. And wow, what impact she made on the world through those prayers. That's quite challenging for us, isn't it, to think about that story for her. So it's also something about finding a regular and safe place to pray. And one of our group talked about how they have a particular place they like to go to that helps them pray. And that can be anywhere, really, that is the right place for us. Ancient Celtic Christians talked about thin places, this idea of spaces that you can go into that are free from distractions, that allow you to pray. They could be in a church. They could be a particular chair that you like to sit on. It could be that you like to walk and pray. And I know for quite a long time, when I had a very busy family, young children, I was working and serving in the church. It used to be my car. And I used to set some time aside as I was travelling into work, turn off the radio, the music every morning, and I would pray. And that was a really helpful place for me. The Psalms, there's this lovely psalm from Psalm 131 that says, I have calmed and quietened myself like a weaned child with their mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. And that's this lovely idea of just coming into God's presence, into that safe place and praying. And then there's things that we can do to prepare our mind. We can use our imaginations to help us to come in to prayer. I've used a technique over many years where I sometimes use the morning prayer written by the Northumbria community. Some of you might know it. And at the beginning, every morning, it says, one thing I've asked of the Lord, and this is what I seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to see him in the temple. And so I often use that. I'll stop. And I'll pause and I'll imagine coming into the courts of the Lord, into his presence. And I just use that moment to prepare. But there might be other things that you can do to help you do that, to bring you into God's presence. Over hundreds of years, way before a lot of modern psychology, Christians have used different techniques to help them pray. And I'm just going to just mention a few. Some of them you might use already. But just this idea of just calming our busy minds, taking hold of our anxious thoughts before we come into God's presence. Some people will use breathing, the idea of breathing in God's Holy Spirit and then breathing out with prayer. And that's just a very simple thing that you can do. Particularly if you're anxious, these are really helpful strategies. Some people will use words to help them, and a very ancient word that's been used for hundreds of years is the word Maranatha, just saying Maranatha, and it means Lord come. It's a lovely word to say, isn't it? Maranatha, Lord come. And then finally, some people find it really helpful to engage with God by moving, and you don't have to sit still to do this. And I've got great friends who actually need to get out, need to go for a run, or they need to walk. And it's at those times that they find that they can get really close and give that space, that pause to God. So you need to find what works for you. The last thing I just wanted to talk about was this very thing about being quiet and listening, because our temptation often is to start doing the speaking. And I just wanted to finish by reading Psalm 23, a verse from Psalm 23, which is so familiar to many of us. The Lord is my shepherd. And the psalmist said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters." And I just want to leave you with that lovely image of God actively leading us. He wants us to come into his presence. He loves being with you, his child. And that idea of just stopping, quiet waters, that lovely stillness of quiet waters. These times are there to restore our souls and to bring us into the presence of our God who loves us and who wants us to know him more. So just to finish, I've got a few resources that you might be interested in. I want to pop the slide up. I don't know if any of you have used any of these at all. I'm sure there's lots of other things that people can recommend that you can share, but I've just a few that I thought you might like to know about. So this is quite an interesting resource. It's quite new. It's called Try Praying, and it's written for people that aren't religious or don't even go to church. And it basically guides you through how you can pray over 7 days. So you might find this a helpful thing to share with people. So it's for people that are not religious, which I think is great, and it basically leads you into prayer. So that's one. There's also an app that you can use for that as well. Has anybody ever used any of the Lectio 365 resources at all? I don't know if anyone's come across those at all. That's another app that you can use, and it just you can click onto it every day, and it will take you through a guided prayer structure. So some people like to use that. Thy Kingdom Come is an event type of resource. It's something that I've engaged with over several years. Might not be your sort of thing, but some people like to sometimes join in with hundreds, this is thousands of people across the country. It's led by the Anglican Church, but it's running between Ascension, 26th of May, and Pentecost. And basically you can join in with a load of resources that come to your phone every day from across the world. And I found that a really positive thing to do some years. And then finally, a lot of you will know about the 24/7 prayer resource, which Pete Gregg is involved in, but you can log on to that website and there's lots and lots of resources to help you pray and lots of tips and ideas. And they do some wonderful courses as well if you're interested in some of your small groups around prayer. So I just thought I'd share those with you. The final thing that I was going to say was, during this prayer series, I'd like to give you a bit of a challenge and invite you to join in with me, because I'm going to pray for 5 people during the next 2 months, believers and people that aren't believers yet. You can choose 5 people that are close to your heart and join me to be committed in praying for those 5 people as we're going through the series. So that's a bit of a challenge for you. I'm going to be doing it, and if you'd like to join in with me, then please do.